From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is a special pledge drive episode of Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. One of the coolest things happening in investigative reporting these days is called radical sharing. It's when reporters get a hot tip or some leaked documents, and instead of keeping it all to themselves, they share it with other reporters, even their competitors. The idea is that by combining brain power and resources from multiple organizations, you can break bigger stories. That's what happened with the Panama Papers. More than 11 million documents that were leaked to a German newspaper in 2015, then shared with more than 100 news organizations around the world. The Panama Papers show how wealthy businessmen and politicians used offshore shell companies to hide money and avoid taxes. In the weeks and months after the story broke, governments were brought down, criminal investigations were launched, and authorities recovered millions of dollars in looted assets. CBC reporter Frederick Zalak was on the story, and he says the money didn't always come from where you think.
We often think about taxes all the time, but we don't think of the art world of being one where offshore entities are being used.
The art world. That is where Frederick's story took him. Here's Reveal's Emily Harris.
We start in Paris. It's World War II. The Nazis are in charge.
In 1940, darkness fell over the City of Light.
Their orders include seizing and selling off anything of value that Jewish families own.
Art was a central aspect of the Holocaust.
That's Kenneth Wayne. He's an art historian. He specializes in modern art.
So they would loot from Jewish families and from museums, too.
One of the paintings the Nazis looted was from a gallery owned by a Frenchman named Oscar Stettner. Stettner's descendants believe the looted painting was a portrait, now called Seated Man with a Cane.
It's a man seated, looking very dapper. He's got a mustache, he has a hat, and he looks like, you know, a Parisian gentleman. And it has kind of a caricatural quality to it.
That portrait was painted around 1918 by an Italian artist named Amadeo Modigliani.
There were all these different movements during the time period he was working, but he really did his own thing.
Modigliani died young. He never got rich. But now his work is more popular than ever.
So we move to the beautiful Modigliani. Lot 8, painted in Paris in
2 years ago, a different painting by Modigliani sold for $170 million.
Sold here.
That was one of Modigliani's famous nudes. That price puts his work into a very exclusive club. But let's head back to Paris. It's now 1944, July 3rd, a Monday. Allied troops have already landed in Europe. Paris will be free soon. But it's not yet. That Monday, Nazis order an auction at Oscar Stettner's gallery. After that sale, Seated Man with a Cane completely disappears. And nobody sees it publicly for more than 50 years. So where does it go for half a century? Well, even when it turns up, there's very little information. It's now 1996. Seated Man with a Cane appears for sale at the swanky auction house Christie's. Christie's doesn't mention Nazis or Oscar Stettner in the information published for the sale. The descendants of Oscar Stettner have no idea they might be the rightful owners. Enter the Art Hunter.
My name is James Palmer, and I'm the founder of Mondex Corporation.
James is short and serious. He's a Canadian, but he lives in London, in Hampstead, a leafy neighborhood he loves.
If we open this window here, I can give you a better view. And you can see, for example, the wide expanse. You can see the lovely green area here.
Inside James's apartment, art is arranged quite tastefully. Art is his passion. Hunting lost art is his business.
Our company is in the business of helping clients recover looted assets, and in particular, art that was looted during the Second World War.
Around 2009, James and his team are searching French archives for information about a completely different case.
And we happened upon a document that referred to the court claim after the war by Oscar Stettner for the Seated Man by Modigliani.
James knows Modigliani's famous nudes, but he's never heard of the Seated Man, and he's never heard of Oscar Stettner. So why the big fuss about these old French court documents? Because they tell him there is a looted painting out there, and he is going to find it. The papers show that Oscar Stettner went to court after the war to get the painting back.
And actually won that court case and won an order for that painting to be returned.
But he never got it back. Meanwhile, James finds Stettner's grandson. He tells him about this mystery. And in 2011, he helps Stettner's grandson file a lawsuit to claim the painting.
This painting was stolen. It belonged to Mr. Stettner, and it needs to be returned.
And this is where the fight over the painting goes around and around in circles. Manhattan Civil Court.
Fast forward now to April 2016. The Panama Papers hit headlines all over the world. Here's Canadian Broadcasting Corporation journalist Frederick Zalak again.
On this edition of The Fifth Estate, stolen treasures. I'm Frederick Zalak in Paris, on the trail of a priceless painting that disappeared during the Nazi occupation.
Reporters collaborating on the Panama Papers first find emails about the missing painting. Then they dig deeper.
This case has multiple moving parts.
That's New York lawyer Philip Landrigan. He's done commercial law for 35 years.
I wouldn't say that I'm an art lawyer. I prepare cases for trial.
His favorite part of the job is appearing in court. He represents Oscar Stettner's grandson, trying to get the painting. They sued an extremely wealthy, big art-dealing family named Namad. One Namad's son owns a gallery that had tried to sell Seated Man with a Cane a couple years before. But the Namads fight back in court. The very first paper they file, in fact, the very first line written in their defense, says to Oscar Stettner's grandson, "You're suing the wrong people." This is where the Panama Papers make the difference. The Namads argue that a company called the International Art Center, or IAC, owns and controls the painting. Philip Landrigan doesn't buy it.
We don't believe that there's any distinction between IAC and the Namads because the company is not operated under normal corporate formalities.
The IAC was actually created by that Panama firm that specializes in shell companies, the firm whose documents were leaked. And deep inside their 11 million records, reporters find evidence that the Namads own the IAC. So it appears they own the Modigliani painting, Seated Man.
In court, there was a big debate about, well, no, it's not the Namads. They don't own the painting. You know, they have nothing to do with it. And yet, in the Panama Papers, we could see that the ownership of the shell company was directly the Namad family. It was black and white there.
So Frederick takes that proof to the Namad's lawyer, Richard Golub. Here's that interview from Frederick's CBC report in 2016.
So we have obtained internal documents of the International Art Center.
Mm. Have you public records?
No, actually, internal documents that show, for example, that the ownership of International Art Center is Mr. Namad's 100% shareholder.
Right.
So Mr. Namad and IAC are one and the same.
No, they're not. That's your point of view. But that's irrelevant. Whoever owns IAC is irrelevant.
The person who owns the company that
well, that's
owns
your
the painting,
point. Of, that's your point of view.
Well, it's not my point of view. It's the document.
I don't know what
here.
The document says, and it doesn't matter what the document says. That document may be superseded. I don't know what that document means, and I don't know where you got it. And it doesn't mean anything.
The question here...
No, I'd like to know that.
We don't go
the interview's
into,
over.
We don't do that.
The interview's over. There's nothing else to say. I'm not going to... I told you before, there's nothing else I'm going to say, because who owns IAC is about as relevant to this as, you know, who's living on Pluto.
I want to talk with Richard Golub further, but he declines. The lawyer on the other side, representing Oscar Stettner's grandson, says the Panama Papers prove his allegations against the Nemads.
We alleged that they were the alter ego, but we didn't have the documentary evidence that the Panama Papers provided, specifically the stock certificate showing that David Nemad was the sole shareholder.
Still, CBC reporters want to know more. Producer Rana Syed finds a connection that blows her away. The man who bought the painting at the Nazi auction kept it all those years. His daughter and grandson sold it through Christie's to the Nemads.
It just seemed too much of a coincidence that the surname was the same as the seller of the painting in 1996 to Christie's.
Other reporters are also hot on the trail. A French TV crew manages to film the painting inside the tax-free warehouse in Switzerland where the Nemads stash it away. And that crew records something no one has ever seen publicly before.
Before the painting was put back in place, the handlers turned it around.
On the back, you can see a label from the Venice Biennale Art Show from 1930.
There's a space for owner, and it's scratched out, and the address below is scratched out. But when you look at it closely, when the French team had some experts look at it, you could make out from the bits that are still there that the likely name that was there was Stettner.
For the art hunter, James Palmer, this seals the deal.
Lo and behold, there's Oscar Stettner's name and address. That was stunning information.
But it's still not enough to end the hard-fought court case. It does raise new questions. Did Christie's know the painting's full history? Or did it hide information when the Nemads bought it in 1996? The grandson's lawyer says this.
Their provenance in the 1996 catalog is demonstrably false.
In November, Christie's told the judge its auction house had reviewed 10,000 documents and could not find any more records of the painting's history. Over 70 years after Seated Man with a Cane was looted by the Nazis and sold at auction, the fight over this painting is far from over.
That was Reveal's Emily Harris. And this was a special pledge drive edition of Reveal, with stories that demonstrate our commitment to going deep in the pursuit of hidden truths. To hear more, go to revealnews.org. At the end of every Reveal episode, I say there's always more to the story. And part of that is you, the role you play in keeping independent journalism going. Here's how to do that.